We're going to look at a couple minor characters here for a little bit before we have the Lord's Supper. I think this will be a message I hope that'll help us get ready for the Lord's Supper, as the Lord's Supper is, of course, a time of communion and a time of self-judgment, a time of examining ourselves and remembering Christ and Him crucified. That's what it's about, remembering Christ. It's just a ordinance God has given the church, whether we do it once a month or once a week or once a day, to just stop and think about Christ crucified and His body that was given as a sacrifice and a substitute for us. Our sins were laid upon His body, and He bore our sins in His body on the cross at Calvary. And then the cup, of course, being the blood, and we'll get to that later. The perfect, peerless blood of Jesus Christ, shed for us, without which there's no remission of sins, there's no forgiveness. And so these two men we talk about tonight, Shebna and Eliakim, let's hope it'll be used by the Holy Spirit to cause us to examine ourselves, because Shebna is a picture of self. Shebna is a picture of self. And Eliakim is a picture of Christ. And self must die and be taken out of the way, as we're going to see in this story. And Christ must be put in His place, as we're going to see with Eliakim. Now, names don't always mean what they suggest about a person in the Bible, but in this case, it does. Shebna means vigor. Shebna means vigor, and he is a picture of self. And if you know anything about self, self is vigorous. Self dies screaming. Nobody ever has won that battle with themselves without self just dying screaming. And we're going to see Shebna taken out of the way tonight by God. And we need God's help. You can't just do this in yourself and say, I'm going to die to self today and try this in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You have a problem with self, and so do I. If we're just honest and humble, and that's what the Lord's Supper is about, being honest and humble. Proud people are never honest and humble. But we don't want to be proud tonight. We want to be humble. All of us, to some extent, are struggling with self. Even D.L. Moody said, I never met a man that gave me more trouble than myself. And that's the truth. You're your biggest problem. It's not others you're blaming it on. And I'm my biggest problem. It's not others. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not, you know, your boss or whatever. You're the problem. I'm the problem. And it's called self. It's called self, and it's pictured or portrayed here by a man named Shebna. Let's read about Shebna, beginning at verse number 15, Isaiah 22 and verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go, get thee unto the treasurer, this treasurer, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here? And whom hast thou here? That thou hast hewed thee out a sepulchre here, as he that heweth him out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. And by the way, that's where I believe we have justification for dodgeball, right there in that verse. Biblical basis, my favorite sport growing up, dodgeball. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. Boy, God knows how to humble the proud and pull them down. Now, this is extremely violent. what's going to happen to Shebna. And as we have observed before in Bible study, there's two ways to humble yourself. You can let God humble you, which is way too severe, or you can humble yourself. He wouldn't tell us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord if it wasn't possible to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. But when God has to do it, it can be very violent and very severe, as he does with Shebna here. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been chastened of the Lord. I have, and some of you have, and Pastor Ben was talking about that in his sermon this morning out at Countryside and the things God has done to him. His brother was in church this morning, Josiah, and boy, if you ever knew his testimony, wow. Wow. You would not believe the extreme things that young man's been through for God to get his attention. But I can remember five times where God physically dealt with me severely. Physically. Severely, and I'm not going to explain those, but he got my attention. He got my attention, and I finally stuck the white flag up. And I found since then it's just so much easier to humble yourself than to wait for God to do it as severely as he does it here with Shebna. Shebna is a picture of self. Now, Shebna starts out good like many other Bible characters. He is a wonderful, wonderful servant of King Hezekiah at first. Humbly called six times a scribe, Hezekiah's scribe. Now, as the scribe of Hezekiah the king, he wasn't making copies of scripture. He was recording the history of Hezekiah's life. You know, they do that with presidents and things. Everything they say, every place they go, just in case they say something famous, they record all of it. From the time he's sworn in to the time he leaves, there's people who are scribes are keeping a note of everything he says, everything he does. And they did that with the kings of Israel. At first, Shebna was the scribe. He was the one that followed around Hezekiah, recorded everything he said. He was like the recorder. And then he was promoted here, and for the only time in the Bible, he is called here in verse 15, this treasurer. Now, don't go off the deep end on treasurers. Treasurers are wonderful people, like Brother Frank. But we think of this guy in the Old Testament, Judas in the New Testament, so people start saying things about treasures, but there are just some wonderful, wonderful treasures in Christian churches like we have here. But he was promoted. Notice the promotion he got, and we're skipping over a lot of history and just coming to our point tonight. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of hosts, verse 15, go get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shebna. So he is elevated from being a historian to being literally the treasurer, even Sheba, which is over the house. That means over the house of Hezekiah. I mean, this guy is just promoted, kind of like Joseph was promoted in Pharaoh's house. And he was just a trusted man. But the scripture says he became very, very proud by his actions. We see he's very, very proud. And maybe in his case, we're not sure, maybe he even misappropriated funds. Because in verse 16, God asks some questions. What hast thou here? And whom hast thou here that thou hast hewn thee out a sepulcher here? Now, it's believed that that was in the burial plots of the kings. And he decides, you know, I should be buried with the kings. He's promoting himself. That's a sign of pride. Whenever someone is constantly promoting themselves, they've got pride in their heart. Pride is a horrible sin in the sight of God. I think it's the worst one in the Bible. It certainly is the one that is the most defined with more examples than any other one. Going way back to Lucifer, first of all, then Eve and Adam and their pride, and then the line just goes on right up till today. Shebna becomes a picture, and so he decides, you know what? Somehow he gets the money to hew him out a sepulcher here, as he that heweth him a sepulcher on high. says, boy, I'm going to remember. There's another guy that did this once named Absalom. You know, Absalom's sepulcher is still in existence today on the east side there of Jerusalem. As you come in the eastern gate, there it is. It's huge. You would not believe how big of a he didn't have a son, so he decided that he'd make a monument to himself. And the Jewish mothers used to take their kids out there to throw rocks at it, to teach them not to be rebels. And that, you can look it up online, Absalom's sepulcher. And that thing was covered up so much, they didn't even know it existed until archaeologists started coming along and just uncovering loads of debris. And there is Absalom's tomb to this day. But and so Shebna is like Absalom. I don't know if he's a rebel, but he certainly is pride, and he's making this big, huge sepulcher to himself on high, that grave and habitation for himself in a rock. Boy, self just loves to be exalted. And self's going to have a great time in the last days. We're living in that right now, and if we're not careful, we'll try to be just like the world. And the Apostle Paul, of course, by the Holy Ghost, said in his prophecy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 and 2, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self is going to really be exalted in the last days. And boy, we're seeing that now. The Laodicean age, which is about the people. It's just about people, not about God. The word Laodicea means about the people. The people are the highlight, not God. And you got to watch it, because you and I can be worldly and be lovers of self. And so Shebna's like this. Now, it seems like Shebna also was a collector of chariots of glory in verse 18. I suppose, just like with cars today, there were different types of chariots, and some were chariots of glory, and he went around on these, and he made a lot of himself, and he made a big sepulcher for himself. He's a picture of self. And God says to him prophetically, we've been studying prophecy the last week, behold, verse 17, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house, and I will drive thee from thy station. And from thy state shall he pull thee down. Wow, I mean, whatever he did must be so hated by God that God said, I'm going to bring a violent end to you who love self and make a big deal out of yourself and want to be remembered forever by making a big, huge monument to yourself. And all those chariots of glory and everything are going to drive thee away. We purchased, when Dr. David Sorensen was here, his commentaries on the whole Bible called Understanding the Bible. There's like 13 different volumes. This one's Proverbs through Isaiah. And commenting on Isaiah 22 here about Shebna, Dr. Sorensen goes into the Bible history that we just read, but also Jewish history. And this is what we call history, or Jewish traditional history, that the Jews wrote. And the Jews wrote their own history, just like American history. We know American history is in Scripture. We know that. But we also study it. And it tells us things about people who've lived in America. I want to read the Jewish history from Dr. Sorensen's book on what happened to Shebna, according to Jewish history. The focus of the prophecy now shifts from impending judgment against Judah to two men named Shebna and Eliakim. The text indicates that during the reign of Hezekiah, there was a high-ranking official in his court named Shebna. He is called treasurer and over the house. This man evidently was treasurer of the royal palace. The house may refer to the house of David, This is the view which Jewish authorities hold. Shebna is accused of usurping his prerogative and making himself a sepulcher or a tomb in the house of David, the royal cemetery reserved for the kings of Judah. Now, that's where the kings were buried, except one priest. Amen. Jehoiada was buried because he was such a great priest. They buried him with the kings. But he said, I'm going to do this myself. You know, no, God sets up one and puts down another. And that's God's business. Don't try to promote yourself. It is evident that this fellow Shebna had abused his privilege and arrogated to himself rank not due him. God had an announcement for this fellow. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity and surely cover thee. Jewish history holds that Shebna went outside Jerusalem when the Assyrians invaded and was captured by them. When Sennacherib departed from Judah with his tail between his legs, chastened by God, he took Shebna with him as a captivity. Moreover, the prophet foretold of his violent death. God would soon throw Shebna like a ball into a foreign country, Assyria. There he would die, and his self-proclaimed glory would be turned into shame. Jewish history holds that while Assyrian forces were at the gates of Jerusalem, that Shebna actually went out in order to deliver Hezekiah's forces to them. However, the gates of the city were slammed behind him, leaving him alone before the Assyrian generals. Jewish history holds that the Assyrians thought that he mocked them. Therefore, they bored his heels and fastened him to the tails of horses and dragged him through thorns and briars. Thus, instead of chariots of glory, he thought they would give him, they put him to shame, binding him to the tails of horses. The arrogance, ambition, and treason and disloyal subordinate of Hezekiah would be removed from office and put down by God and, of course, die in a foreign country. Now, that's Jewish history. I'm not quoting that tonight as scripture. All right. But Jews have their history. We have ours. And how much of ours you believe, that's up to you. The point is, Shebna, a picture of self, is violently destroyed by God. Whether the history is true or not, the prophecy says that would happen. You know, we're supposed to do the same thing with self. These words sound pretty common, but when you think about them, they are very extreme. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said this, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And one of the things would do us good is if we studied crucifixion and just this horrific crucifixion is. And that's what Christ says you and I need to do to self every day. Take up our cross daily and follow him. Go to the Encyclopedia Britannica. They got a tremendous article on crucifixion. Or website, just type in crucifixion and it won't tell you about Christ. It'll just tell you about Roman crucifixion, the way they performed it. It was violent. It was thorough. Nobody ever survived it. And they crucified over 1 million people during their empire. It was so violent, nobody ever survived it. And so Shebna is a picture of self. Just self-promotion. And just trying to exalt himself and gain things, chariots of glory for himself. But the Bible says in Psalm 75, if I could find this for you here in a minute, Psalm 75 and verse number 7, I believe. Verse 6, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south." Well, there's only one direction left, and what's that? North. And where does God live? In the north parts. That's where promotion cometh. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So let's go to our second point now in Isaiah 22, and there's only two points. Point number one is out with Shebna. Point number two is in with Eliakim. Shebna must be put out, even violently. We got to, you know, like it says in Hebrews, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I mean, there needs to be some effort. We got to keep thinking self's okay. You know, it's my little pet that I stroke every day. Now, God hates it when we promote self. And I'm preaching to myself tonight, too. But in with Eliakim. Eliakim now becomes a picture of Christ, beginning at verse number 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Jacob. Notice he's going to take the place of Shebna here in verses 20 and 21. But who is this Eliakim? Who is he a type or a picture of? Well, verse 22 tells us clearly, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Now, who's this talking about? This verse is quoted one other time in Scripture. And that's in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And it's in red letters, by the way. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, and Jesus is saying this about himself. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. The key of David is only mentioned in Revelation 3:7 and in the verse we just read about Eliakim in Isaiah 22. And then it goes on and it says this, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. It is almost an exact quote here in Revelation 3 and verse 7 of what we see in verse 22. And so Eliakim becomes a picture or a type of Christ. Out with self, in with Christ. And we need to see, by the way, Eliakim means God raises up or God sets up. Now, again, not all the time in the Bible do people live up to their names, but sometimes they do. And Shebna means vigor and energy, just put into the promotion of himself, just always promoting himself. God puts him down violently. And then he says, now somebody else is going to wear your robe. Somebody else is going to wear your girdle. I'm going to commit your government, Shebna, to somebody else. And he's going to be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And that's how it needs to be in our walk, where self is crucified, killed, violently taken out of the way, and Christ put in his place. Christ put in his place. Wonderful things are said about Eliakim that, of course, our picture of Christ. Of course, the robe refers to what? Righteousness, right? And the girdle around the loins refers to strength. Even nowadays, I guess when you go to gymnasiums, they call it your core workout, where they're focusing on that part of the body, the loins. He's going to be given authority. The government will be committed to him. Amen. Christ should rule in our lives. He should be Lord of our lives. And he's not self-serving. Notice Eliakim, or Christ, is described this way. He will be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's not going to live for himself. He's going to live for others. Just like a good father takes care of all of his children. Notice, what is the focus of Eliakim? On others. He shall be a father. He shall be a father to all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he would be also to the house of Judah there at the end of verse 21. Paul rebuked the church at Corinth and said, you know, you got 10,000 teachers, but you don't have many fathers. And we're talking about with a small lowercase f. We're not talking about fathers like the Catholics do. But then Paul went on, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I was the one that came and won you to Christ and got this church started here in Corinth and so on. And you know, you and I need to be like fathers. We need to win people to Christ and try to be just like a father would to a little baby to help him or her grow, to stand on their feet and become a good adult, good citizen, good Christian. So spiritually. And Eliakim is a picture of somebody who doesn't live for themselves. He's not building a sepulcher to himself and look at my chariots of glory. Look what I own. But rather, he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I was listening to Tucker Carlson this week, and he was talking to the Prime Minister of Poland. And in Tucker Carlson's opinion, he says, Poland and Hungary have the best governments on earth. And he says, because the people in government only do one thing, and that is, what can we do to benefit the people of our country? Boy, it'd be nice if we had a country like that, and people weren't thinking about the next elections. And that just struck me. And I said, you know, I'm going to Poland, I think. If I have to leave, man, I'm going back to Poland. 43% Polish, so I'll go back there. So you got to let me in. But that just impressed me when he said that. And I said, and that's what government should be. Government should be small. And government should be of the people, for the people, by the people. You know, it should be for the people. What can we do? And that's what Eliakim did. He was like a father to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Who can I help? Into the house of Judah. And of course, then he's a type of Christ in verse 22. And he's a nail. Verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. Now, a sure place is a secure place. It's like your home with the doors locked. And then inside of your home, there's nails or hooks or whatever we call them. And we hang very important things on those nails. At least they did. You know, they didn't probably have the cabinets and cupboards we have. But, you know, you go in our house and you turn around, there's nails there, and we hang our car keys on there. Very, very valuable. It's something we've got to know where it is at all times. And nails are a picture in the scriptures. Ecclesiastes 12 talks about nails and preachers' sermons being like nails. But I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. So, again, he's ministering. God's going to make Eliakim glorious, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, even the vessels and cups, even all the vessels of flagons. No, notice these important things that they hang on nails. Your offspring, your issue, all the vessels of small quantity, the vessels of cups, you know, and flagons, those things are necessary. Even to be able to eat, you got to have cooking utensils. And we hang very valuable things, is what it's saying. And Eliakim, you're going to live for God. You're going to be clothed in his righteousness. You're going to have the strength of the Lord. Your girdle is going to be like strength. I'm going to put authority in your hands, and you're going to be a blessing to people. And you're going to be like a nail that your country can hang itself upon in a sure place and not be ripped out. And so there's a picture there. Now, of course, later, like I said, no type or picture in the Bible is perfect of Christ. Only Christ is perfect. And he would himself go into captivity, verse 25, to Babylon, the Babylonians. But what a wonderful man he is. And so many precious things are secured and hang on a nail in a sure place. And you and I should be like a nail in a sure place. Your children and your church, everything should just hang upon that nail in a sure place. Hope that nail doesn't come out and everything attached to it fall. A lot of types, a lot of pictures here of Christ. Amen. We can commit to him the keeping of our souls. Amen. He's a nail in a sure place. Christ is. And praise the Lord, he's never coming out. man, he's gonna stay in there. So here's some things to think about before we have the Lord's Supper tonight. Have we dealt with self, or are we constantly promoting ourselves? God doesn't like that. God may do some extreme things to get us to die to self. Die to self. Or we may never recover from it. We may die like Shebna. I don't know, man. I'm not the judge. It's not my domain to judge. But I think I've done funerals for people that died a long time before their time. Because they just, life was all about them. They got saved. They trusted Christ. But they never came to that place of sanctification and dying to self. And God took them away. God did some pretty harsh things to some people I know and to myself. But stick up the white flag and then let Christ come in, Eliakim, and take place. And what a glorious history we read here about Eliakim. Shall we bow for prayer? Father, thank you. We pray to do some soul searching. Oh, how you hate self, Lord. When your Son Jesus died for us, and we avail ourselves of that as far as salvation is concerned, but then we live for self. Some more than others struggle with this. And Lord, help each and every one of us to be humble and honest tonight and say, to some extent, self is trying to control me every day. But help us not to be lovers of our own selves, but to die daily, as we read the words of our Savior, who said we should deny ourselves, take up our cross, die to self daily. And so it's an old truth, Lord, we've learned from two minor Old Testament Bible characters tonight. And we just pray that as we have a time of prayer now, we would search our souls, confess our sins, and pray for the grace that we need to put self to death for Jesus' sake.